get. And in some systems are very restrictive, and others are less restrictive. The British system, for example, allows you to go outside of their system, and they have a private shadow counterpart, so that if you want, a healthcare procedure and it's a year in the public system, you can go and get it next week in the private system. You have to pay for it yourself, but you can purchase private insurance. You can you use your resources freely. In other systems, like the Canadian system, are very restrictive. You cannot use your system, your resources freely. You're not permitted to use them. And in fact, there are CAT scanners in Canada now that if you wanted a CAT scan, you would be waiting 4 months for a CAT scan. But the hospitals are really smart. They have this piece of equipment that sits there. And if your dog needed a CAT scan, they could get that tonight or tomorrow. All right, because there's no restriction on CAT scanning your animals, and veterinarians have needs for that as a tool for them to diagnose and take care of our pets. But they can get that. But if you're just a human being, sorry, you can't get that. And so that drives a lot of individuals, of course, into the United States when they're sick. When you're healthy, the Canadian system works fine, the Cuban system works fine, the French system works fine, they all work fine. Our system works fine when you're healthy. The problem is, what happens if you have cancer? Well, survival rates in this country are significantly better than anywhere else in the world. And oftentimes you hear quoted the World Health Organization rankings, which have not been issued since 2000 because they are so wrong, where the United States is listed down as 23rd or so on. Someone bothered to actually take a look at how they derived their rankings and discovered that, of course, they had cooked the survey and the results in comparing infant mortality, for example. Countries measure infant mortality differently. And if you don't measure it all the same, the results are meaningless. So in our country, a baby is born, takes one breath, and dies. That's counted as infant mortality. In another country, an infant who dies in the first 30 days is not counted. Hmm. Or is born before so many weeks gestation is not counted. So if we're going to be making these comparisons, let's at least do it accurately, compare oranges to oranges and apples to apples. I don't think we really want to proceed where the government is the one really making key decisions for us. And that's the, I think, where Mark and I might part company over this. I don't think the government has all that wisdom to do that. The government can say, this is all we're going to pay for. That's fine. I mean, that's their role. But it ought to be up to individuals to say, you know, but I want something more. I want something different.
So it's. I was just thinking, you don't want all the control in one ideologue or a small group of ideologues, those who may have the same view as Mark, and he may love them. But eventually, what if you get a group that has a view of that's different from his? So, and I, that's where I think, you know, you were talking to me on the break about freedom. You said freedom. We said it's not a left thing. It's not a right thing. And I would say, you know, somebody on the quote unquote left might accuse somebody who's trying to have a minimum amount of government as somebody who's on the right. Actually, in the good old days, that was the left. That was the Thomas Jefferson left.
Right. Well, that's why those terms really are meaningless.
Right.
As much as Democrat, Republican are to me. It really is an issue of who is going to have the decision-making authority over you, over yourself, over your own body, your own health, the health of your family. And we ought to empower individuals to have that authority, that decision-making ability. And we have to get back to really having, for example, something as simple as individual ownership of health insurance policies. We know that the ownership now, which is mostly through employers, that's a derivative of tax policy after the Second World War, and so this antique has survived to this day, and so when you lose your job, you lose your health insurance policy, unless you want to do COBRA for a while, and that's pretty expensive. Well, why don't we go to a system where individuals own their own health insurance? They make decisions about what kind of insurance they want to, and we give tax credits for those who can't afford it. I mean, there are a lot of ways to do this.
And maybe even the business can say, hey, tell us what your insurance program is. Hey, we'll chip in $200 a month for that,
of course,
matter what it is.
Businesses have an incentive because they want a healthy workforce.
Sure.
You bet. And I think that way, if you lose your job, you don't automatically lose your insurance. So I think that there are solutions to this. It's the reason I think that democracies, I think, are better at this, because we value group IQ. None of us have all the answers. I mean, listen, I don't have all the answers. No one does. But if we get together, we can put our heads together. I think if we really came up with a real bipartisan effort, in the same way that Social Security was put together in a bipartisan effort, Medicare was put together in a bipartisan effort, that's what we have to have with health care reform. And as I said to you earlier, we're going to know that a good product has been produced when they say that all federal employees and all elected officials will be part of that problem. That's where they will access their health care.
And I differ with you on that one. But
you hear that.
Right.
You can be pretty, you can go to sleep at night and sleep pretty comfortably that they've come up with a good product.
Well, and I have a question about some states have implemented this thing where they freed up the market so that, and the laws, so that a group of people could get together, an organization of people could get together, set up a kind of a mutual beneficial pay your doctor bill program that isn't really insurance. It's an association of people chipping in to pay each other's bills.
Sure.
Is that something that's accessible in Florida?
I don't believe so, but it's something that ought to be accessible everywhere. These kind of creative solutions ought to be developed. Now, there are problems with it. You know, we're a very mobile society, so if we have our insurance through a co-op, that entity has to be prepared to take care of my broken leg when I go out west or something.
Right.
And I trip and fall. So somehow you've got to figure out solutions to that. You've got to allow individuals to come up with creative solutions to this problem. I believe we can do it.
I'll just tell you, I was a member of one of those, and it was a ministry position I was in, and that was their criteria. You're actively involved, your staff on some church or some kind of thing. They had like a description of the type of organization you were affiliated with, and then you could join this co-op, essentially what it was. And it started out at $99 a month, and then they would send out things where they would cover something, or there was just general things that most people could probably tolerate the bill. And then there were some things that they would cover. And then if it was beyond what they thought was something that the co-op should really handle by the forced fee, is they sent out letters and then people would give. So it was an effort of love among the group to take care of somebody's need when it became catastrophic. It was wonderful.
And we would all benefit by more competition in the health insurance industry. And the lack of competition is protected by state and federal laws.
Wow.
Those multi-billion-dollar industries are not sitting idly by. They're out there with their lobbyists making sure that the government is protecting them.
Well, I'm going to ask you, did you look at this proposed bill, the Florida HJR 37?
I did.
And what did you think of that?
I did. And again, we're all for freedoms and not having things imposed on us, and I don't know where this is going to go. I've seen the House version of this. I think there's also a Senate companion about this, and this is about basically saying that there's going to be a state law where no one in this state is compelled to participate in any kind of healthcare system, quote. But the problem, of course, with this is that federal law trumps state law, and I think will override even something put into our Constitution. Now, I've just seen this draft of it. I don't know what's going to come of it. I know that a lot of smart legal minds, including those at the Florida Medical Association, are looking at this and trying to make sure that we clearly understand the implications of it. But I think that, look, we're all for more freedom and allowing individuals to make their own decisions wherever possible, and to care for those who cannot make their decisions for them. And if this advances that cause, fine. But I think it's too early to tell.
And we're just to let you guys know, it's HJR 37 is a proposal to change the Florida Constitution. And the idea is, and I saw some caveats in there that would kind of basically eviscerate some of its intention. because, you know, it said, well, unless this happens, you know, it's going to be like this unless this. Well, some of that unless this disqualifies two-thirds of what they're trying to do. There are some situations that no doubt because of relationships as employers, as United States employers, that federal guidelines will affect a federal employer. I mean, you fill out the SS4 form, guess what? You know, you've got a contract. And there, it just gives some regulation that there's nothing you're going to be able to do anything about. So,
well, you know, if you're a Medicare patient now, you can privately contract with your dentist, you can privately contract with your veterinarian, but you're limited in terms of what you can do with a physician. And there are federal prohibitions against you privately contracting with a physician. So you have to understand what those are. The physicians generally understand what they are. And those are the kind of laws, those anti-freedom laws, that just are not necessary. And perhaps this is trying to, you know, make sure we don't do anything within our state that limits an individual's freedom to privately contract if they think it's in the best interest of them or their loved ones.
Sure, if you're not under a particular umbrella, you shouldn't be forced by a totalitarian central state to do that. And one of the things you said, and we're going to take a break here shortly, we'll come back after it and we'll try to wrap up, you know, basically bring the best points to home here for our listeners. But one of the things is, as you were saying that, it occurred to me reasonably that if you connect the dots and you see the places where the federal government has controlled, has created a system where they are managing that health system, that control ends up leading to catastrophe, limiting the amount of care, limiting the things that doctors can do, and in fact, forcing the costs on somebody else involuntarily. And people don't realize what costs they're paying right now because of federal control with regard to what you called cost shifting. So it is
one thing all socialized healthcare systems have in common is rationing. All right, they all ration care, and you know that's something that you have to be very, very wary of. And we can talk more about that if you'd like.
Yeah, we'll do that when we come back from the break. The rationing issue, I saw something of all things on Mr. Al Gore's current TV. They had a video of a guy and his buddies going around Canada trying to get healthcare services. And they'd go up to a desk and they'd say, I hurt my wrist. What do I do? Literally, it would be 90 days before he can have somebody look at his wrist.
Right.
You know, okay, no, you can't get X-ray. You've got to be kidding. Well, you can go down to the street to the private one. It'll be $900.
Right.
So it's kind of extreme. So, folks, you're listening to the Eagle 104.3 FM. I'm David Allen Carmichael. We come back from the break. I'll probably have time for another call if you'd like. The number is 888-850-1872. That's 888-850-1872. We're going to come back, talk to Dr. Carl Altenberger for the Florida Medical Association. And we're going to try to wrap this up. We've only got one more segment on this and try to really get to the point. What can we do about it? We're not just going to rant and rave. What is the substantive thing that we can do that'll make a difference in our lives and the life of our neighbor? We shall return.